The 2018 Rim of the Pacific War Games wrap up this week. The final exercise was a beach assault that brought together ships, aircraft, and Marines from 11 different nations. The Conversation's Ryan Finnerty was on hand to witness the operation. He brought back this report.
The roar of two F-18 Hornet fighter jets signaled the start of an assault on Kaneohe's Pyramid Rock Beach. A multinational coalition was about to launch an amphibious landing in the fictional nation of Griffin. Their objective was to retake an airfield that had been captured by hostile forces in the wake of a natural disaster. It was the culminating exercise of RIMPAC 2018. Marines and sailors from Australia, Chile, the Philippines, Indonesia, Japan, Malaysia, and South Korea joined U.S. service members for the assault. Commodore Ivan Ingham was in command of the task force.
For today's demonstration, all of the assets that you see, the Marines, the soldiers, the ships, or the connectors, are all under the command of CTF 176, which is commanded by me. I'm an Australian naval officer. The team, it's a fully multinational team. So on my staff, I've got staff officers from Colombia, Singapore, Canada, New Zealand, America. So we're Chile. We're a fully integrated staff. And really, we don't look at the all of the command responsibilities in key positions across the command structure of the RIMPAC are shared amongst the participating nations. So we're a multinational combined force. All of the different nationalities bring a richness of their culture and their way of doing business, but actually it's remarkable kind of how similar we are. And the biggest barriers to us doing business is communication, is the language. And we're fortunate that most of the participants here have very good language skills, and we have our own arrangements for making sure that we are interoperable, and that's the whole purpose of the exercise. This is the 26th RIMPAC, and the theme for a number of years for participating nations is capable, adaptive partners. And I think those three words kind of capture what it is that we're trying to pursue every 2 years when we get together. Clearly, with such a large exercise, so many ships, aircraft, submarines, so many participants from across the entire Pacific region, interoperability is really key. At the sort of strategic level, the exercise seeks to promote relationship building, cooperation, trust. It's an excellent opportunity for the militaries within the Pacific region to come together and work in what is a really unique and asset-rich environment.
Behind Commodore Ingham was the HMAS Adelaide, one of the Royal Australian Navy's two amphibious assault ships. The 750-foot-long Adelaide can carry 8 helicopters, 4 amphibious troop carriers, and over 1,000 Marines. As the F-18s thunder overhead, two waves of amphibious assault vehicles spill out of the Adelaide. Each vehicle, known as an AAV, can carry 21 fully loaded Marines. Think of a tank that can drive on both land and open water. In this exercise, 300 Marines will launch towards the beach from Indonesian and Australian ships. Lines of AAVs already fill the bay, churning through choppy water. As the first troop carriers reach the sand, attack helicopters escort them from above. The back ramps drop, and teams of U.S. and Malaysian Marines pour onto the beach. U.S. Marine Colonel Michael Stiskel commands an international task force of Marines and aviators based in Hawaii who specialize in operations like this one. He oversaw the ground and air portions of the mission.
What you saw here today was a demonstration of amphibious combat power coming ashore, a combination of surface assault and air assault, and then all of the other assets that we would use in an operation like this. So what you saw was some preparation of the battlefield with aircraft, and then assault amphibian tractors, the AAVs, come ashore, and then we'd be doing assault follow-on echelons with other assets. This is a very complex operation to get ships and Amtraks and aviators and planes all into one spot in a very tight area. So we've been planning this for a number of weeks, and at the end of the day, I think it went very well. And all of the countries participating today, I think, learned quite a bit. As a maritime exercise, if we look at the Pacific, the Indo-Pacific theater, a lot of littoral areas where we might have to work from the sea and then go ashore and then come back. So this exercise really demonstrated the flexibility and the inherent utility that we have to a combined force. So 3 days ago, we executed operations off of Kauai, and then within overnight, we were executing operations on Bellows Beach, and that was within a 24-hour period. So we can lift and shift our assets fairly quickly as opposed to a strict land force where it just can't be as flexible. So today I have 9 countries here today, or 11 countries operating today on this operation. I think we showed some strength. If we try to do it all separately, we wouldn't be as effective. So, but with the Indo-Pacific theater, where majority of it is water and you have to get ashore at some point, the ground and the sea is definitely going to come together, and the aircraft just give us longer, different reach, you know, so we can get out and help people, or we can get out and affect the enemy or an adversary more effectively.
But there was more than just naval power on display. Soldiers from the U.S. Army were participating for the first time. In fact, it was the Army that carried out the largest amphibious assault in history, the D-Day landings at Normandy. But for RIMPAC, they're in a supporting role. Colonel Christopher Wendland commanded the Army's portion of the exercise.
So if the Navy wants to go a certain place and they want us to make sure that it's unhindered for their movement, we're from the shore, we're going to provide support, whether it be long-range artillery, long-range air defense, or other means that we might have, electronic warfare, to provide an opportunity for them to get to that area that was denied to them.
And so you're providing support to both the ships at sea and the Marines on the beach?
Absolutely. We were nested with the amphib assault, so we would do preparatory work, prep work. And then the same thing with the Navy, as they were trying to transit certain areas that may have been contested, we would do preparatory work as well to make sure that they can get through those areas, all from the shore. And it's working the interoperabilities. How well can the Army support the Navy as they want to be able to go someplace? How do we enable them?
And so what did you think of the exercise now that it's over? How did it go?
I think it went extremely well. I'm glad that we got a chance to work with the Marines and get to work with the Navy to kind of complement each other's capabilities or strengths and complement those weaknesses that might have had with our strengths to enable to make this a successful operation.
The F-18s came around for a second pass as landing teams secured the objective. Their commander, Colonel Stiskel, gave his assessment as only a U.S. Marine can.
So our planned H hour was at 0920. We hit the beach at 0919. So in that word, we made it 1 minute early.
From Marine Corps Base Hawaii, I'm Ryan Finnerty for The Conversation.
RIMPAC 2018 concludes on Thursday. The exercise included 26 nations, 52 ships, and more than 24,000 military personnel. To listen back to our coverage of this year's exercise, head over to hawaiipublicradio.org.